When Sasha Velour bled a cascade of rose petals from her head during the final performance on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, you knew she was going to sashay away with a crown.
Since her win, she's been touring and putting all her energy into her one queen show, Smoke and Mirrors, where she blends drag, visual art, projection, impossible costumes, and magic into an unstoppable tour de force.
Today, we take a look at Sasha Velour's new show, Smoke and Mirrors, and a look at Victory Over the Sun, the oddball Russian futurist opera with outrageous costumes that caused a violent riot when it first hit theaters in St. Petersburg 100 years ago.
Plus, a novelty heat sensor at a tourist attraction reveals a woman's cancerous breast tissue.
A young boy dressed as Mayor Lori Lightfoot for Halloween gets pizza with the mayor.
And an all-new Cooking with Drag Queens is up, featuring Camp Wanakiki's Muffy Fish Basket and Chicken Kiev, the dish, not a drag queen.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
I guess when you met me, it was just one of those things. But don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm gonna be true if you let me. You're gonna love me like nobody's loved me, come rain or come shine. Happy together, unhappy together, oh, that'd be fine. Days may be cloudy or sunny, we're in or we're out of the money, but I'm with you always. I'm gonna love you.
That is Come Rain or Come Shine, one of Judy Garland's iconic songs that she sang on television in her very famous TV special. And now Sasha Velour is bringing back to life in her unstoppable tour de force, Smoke and Mirrors.
Yeah, it was great to see a callback to all those golden era divas, Eartha Kitt, Judy Garland, Shirley Bassey.
Yeah, this is Sasha Velour's first major project to come out after snatching the crown on RuPaul's Drag Race. I get so emotional, baby, every time I steal a crown.
Did she steal it or she earned it?
She earned it. She but she took it.
Yes.
Yeah. Crowns are always snatched. Never. Especially when you're queer. Especially when you're gender non-binary.
Well, you know, for a lot of people, too, it's like they're rooting for their favorite queen. And when their queen doesn't win, then it was stolen. They were robbed.
Yes. Yes. Because it was us, her, and Chicago queen, Shea Coulee, from Cooking with Drag Queens, who were battling it out. Of course, we wanted Shea to win because we have Cooking with Drag Queens, and we want to see our girls go far, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, Shay and Sasha Velour were very close friends and are still close friends to this day. And, you know, there was photos of them backstage hugging and kissing here in Chicago, reunited. So.
And it feels so good.
Yeah. So Smoke and Mirrors is 12 dazzling, genre-busting lip-sync performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat as Sasha explodes into rose petals, vanishes in a poof of smoke, saw herself in half, conjures up a devastating rainstorm, and transforms herself into a tree. just in front of your eyes.
That was a beautiful moment, definitely, for sure. You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, it comes out and I didn't quite know what to expect. I seen some of her stuff online and I knew that she was working a lot with projection. And she explained, because, you know, she's doing a show, but she's also talking to the audience. In many ways, it feels like a very intimate experience. Mm-hmm. And you almost feel like, oh, she's talking directly to you. Although she never looked quite up to the box where we were sitting and said, Mark and Fausto.
Thanks for coming.
But it did feel like, you know, she really was speaking to you. And I thought it was really interesting. And she talked about how, invention is the mother of necessity.
Mother is the invention. Necessity. she said that basically all those three words could be are interchangeable. And still have basically the same idea.
Basically. And, you know, as artists, you're challenged. You're like, I'm in this situation. Or as any kind of person, you're in this kind of situation. How do I make this situation serve my needs? And as a performer, she said she was performing at a straight club and they didn't have a spotlight. And she's one of those people, like my husband here, Fausto, who's like, if you're going to perform, you need a spotlight. When we used to do live shows, we would spend $100. Was $100.
Oh, yeah. I would go to the theater rental company, throw a spotlight into my broken down Toyota, haul that thing across town, haul it up the stairs and be like, go get a family member or a friend to be like, you're running the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And if that spotlight gets off of me, there'll be hell to pay.
You know, it was a production, but it was something. It adds something to it because you see drag shows now and you see drag performers. There's not a spotlight. They're performing in the dark. They're performing in the shadow. You're there to shine. You need to shine. And I used kind of fight against it. I'm like, Fausto, you know, we don't have that much of a budget. You're spending $100 or maybe it was $75 to rent a spotlight. He's just like, we are going to have a spotlight. And so she was in that kind of situation and she noticed that she was like, well, hey, wait a second. Look at this. We have a projection system here because they're projecting football games on the weekends, baseball games, those kinds of things. So why don't I just make a film basically with a spotlight in it and I'll just stand in that spotlight. And so I guess she must have choreographed her performance and just the spotlight would have followed her. So imagine it's projecting a black screen but with a spotlight on it with some light right there, and so you're showcasing yourself on there and you see this, you know, come through the performances in so many different ways. It's really intriguing.
Well, and Sasha Velour studied animation, you know, and went to art school. So it's not an unusual thing that I've seen artists using projection. It was a huge deal in the 90s when the technology first started to come to be accessible to people. Because back in the day, you had to spend thousands of dollars to get a video projector. And now you can, you know, they sell video projectors that work with your phone.
Oh, I mean, people used to use slide projectors in their performances.
I used slide projectors.
You know?
One performance that I used to do was I was completely naked and I would make the costumes and stand in front of the projection of myself. Mm-hmm. Yes, with my dick hanging out there.
Ooh.
That we could do that in those days. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, like a lot of these venues now that's because they serve alcohol, it's frowned upon or it can interfere.
No pole, no hole.
But you know, Sasha Velour's, I think, major magic act is the way her illusions, her ideas, her visual language unmasks these stories, these truths, these analyses on her gender, on fame and her family and the importance of dreaming big. And it was really important to see her have a RuPaul's Drag Race flag, you know, the racing checkered flag as a cape that's holding her back and she shakes it off.
Yeah. And floats away.
And in the very beginning and takes off and the rest of the show is this adventure in the last couple of years of Sasha's life where she's gone through personal and career and financial problems. Mm-hmm. Imagine having money stolen from you and having, after winning $100,000, you work so hard. This is all your dreams come true. And here's some jerk, you know, figure out a way to weasel you out of your hard earned cash.
Yeah. Bad management. You know, she's not the first artist to fall victim to an unscrupulous manager. It's unfortunate. And it's one of those things that's, you really have to take the reins of your own career and figure that stuff out. And, you know, I feel bad. She trusted the wrong people. And maybe the people, I don't know if they had bad intent or if they just mismanaged the money. I'm not sure what the situation. I'm not privy to that. But, you know,
well, we've had bad management ourselves, you know, yeah. And to me, it's like you're spending, you know, Matt, when you have a manager, you're basically a customer for them. Mm-hmm. They're selling you a service and you're buying that service to help them assist you mm-hmm. in managing your career. Mm-hmm. It's just like if you paid someone to install roof tiles on your home,
right.
Or to wash your car or to walk your dog, or it's a service they're giving you. And too many artists in some ways feel like it's like they're owned or they're subservient in a really weird subservient way, you know? Mm. Like people will be so outraged if they spend like $1,000 on an electronic device that doesn't work. But if somebody spends $1,000 on a manager that doesn't do their job effectively, they don't care. You know, they're just like, oh, well, that's the nature of the business. I'm like, you can get out of that deal. You don't have to stick with it, you know? And mm-hmm. I think a lot of the Rue girls are sort of waking up to that fact. It's like, look over your contracts. If your contract says, do not speak to Feast of Fun, you should probably speak to Feast of Fun.
You most definitely should talk to Feast of Fun.
We're so punk. We're so radical. We're so progressive. Yes, folks, there are contracts that are written up for drag queens to sign that specifically prohibit them from talking to us. I'm not going to say any names because I'm not that kind of call out queen, but I'm just going to say that it's refreshing to be invited and welcomed and embraced by Sasha Velour at this show. Mm. And even if I wasn't reviewing it, I still would give it an amazing review because I think this is actually where I want to see a lot of the queer artists who get on RuPaul's Drag Race and Dragula and Camp Wanakiki and Cooking with Drag Queens. I want them to make theatrical experiences. I want them to make art. I want them to take us to a magical world. Mm. And I think Sasha Velour, we haven't seen Trixie Mattel's show. We haven't seen a lot of these artists who've sort of taken over the entire space. And usually when they take over a space, it's a gay bar or queer bar. Mm. And to me, it's like, it's the nice thing about performing in a theater is that you have more control, more availability about what the audience experiences. And, you know, hey, in my day, we started dressing up in drag and going to art galleries. We performed in art galleries because we couldn't get into theaters or gay bars.
You were that bad?
Yeah. We were art. But since my first name was Fausto, it was fart.
But you're right. It's like when you're in a theater, it's kind of there's a certain amount of respectability. There's an essence. There's a positivity there. You're going. You're having that experience. You're sitting down. And when you're seeing one person create a show, it's one vision and you like that. Whereas you see a lot of the drag queen girls from RuPaul's Drag Race, it's, you know, it's a bill of them. They might be performing in a bar. It's one number after another. You know, you're standing there. It's, you know, people are drinking. It can be messy. It's crowded. It's not always the best view. And it can be fun. It can, don't get me wrong, it can be a blast. But I liked different kinds of experiences, too.
Let's talk about the song list that Sasha Velour had, because I really appreciated that she brought in a lot of the songs that are on my iPhone and a lot of songs that I enjoy lip syncing to that a lot of modern queens don't want to touch because they're not top 40 songs from the past 20 years. Mm. And, you know, then some of these songs like Fame by Irene Cara actually sounded really alive and relevant and meaningful through lip sync through Sasha Velour's body and costumes.
Yeah, it's because it's part of that storytelling. It's you, when you're up there and you're doing that kind of thing, and it's like when you do the Fame thing, it's God, that song is almost 40 years old, right?
And the movie,
but it sounded
fresh. Yeah, it sounded fresh. It sounded like it just been released.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was just like the audio engineering, the sound system made the song sound so powerful. But I absolutely loved it. We have the whole playlist on our website, feastoffun.com, so you can plug that into your music apps and sort of relive the experience. If you haven't seen Sasha's show yet, I would hold off on listening to some of these songs because it's nice to see, be reintroduced them in her performance.
Yeah, because it's a little bit of a surprise. You're like, oh, I love this song. Oh, I love this song.
What did you think about, you know, I knew that Sasha Velour shaving her head was a tribute to her mother who had passed because of her fight with cancer.
Right.
But I didn't realize that her mother was so involved in her vision as a drag queen and as a queer person.
Well, she said she gave her some notes on her performance. Well, I like this about your performance. I like this about your performance. This you might consider re-examining. But yeah, well, she, you know, she said her parents are educated. Her dad's a professor. Her mother was a editor of a magazine. You know, I think that they're very intellectual, like Sasha herself. And I think they recognized at a young age that their son was, you know, extraordinary and wanted to uplift them and say, listen, do your thing, be smart, be educated, be alive.
Yeah. And I think, you know, of course, Sasha is, you know, the casting people of RuPaul's Drag Race do an extraordinary job at finding people with great personalities and great drag talent. It's not just enough to be amazing on stage. It's also the ability to do those quips, those asides, and it's nice to see both Sasha Velour and we just saw Madonna's Madame X tour. These artists that normally don't really spend a lot of time talking to the audience, going back to this kind of 90s performance art style where they spend, you know, a good half of the show, you know, telling their life story and making it powerful, relevant, and meaningful. And I was actually, I never cry. I never get moved by a drag show, but this actually really spoke to me as somebody who has my own personal fights with cancer and having lost my father to cancer, as well as my poor mother's ongoing struggle with cancer and a stroke. So it really was really a beautiful experience, and I urge people to go see it.
And so much different. You know, there's a lot of people on the list of this show that are fans of RuPaul's Drag Race, and they do enjoy the drag queens that do these kinds of, you know, different performances, lip syncing kind of things. This is different. It's would you say it's more like esoteric? Is that the word I'm using for?
It is. If you're not familiar with futurist Russian opera, you might want to take a look because it is. It's interesting what Sasha Velour is doing with her show, and I'm not sure that very few people understand what she's getting inspiration from.
Well, because her father is a professor of like Russian studies, right? His mother was a reviews Russian, was an editor of a Slavic magazine. She herself, Sasha, spent a year at Fulbright Scholarship, I believe, in Moscow, which she talked about, you know, many times and saying it was very hard to be a queer person there. You never knew what was going to happen. You could be murdered. Anything could happen. So, and when you look at her drag aesthetic, it really does have, you can see that kind of Russian influence. Not the Russian influence that Katya has. Hers is more campy, I would say.
Well, Katya's is based on James Bond, like a Western view of Russians, not actual Russian culture. Whereas Sasha's actually is.
Where it's more based on like a theatrical kind of look. You see definitely like the old like Russian costuming kind of influence, the influence of like the Russian church,
absolutely,
and the performers.
One of my favorite designers of all time is Kazimir Malevich. He was a cubist painter, a designer, a futurist theorist, and futurists unfortunately were tied to fascist parties. I mean, you're the historian, Mark, here on the show. What was the world like? What was Eastern Europe and Germany and Russia in the 1910s?
Well, the 1910s was really rough because you had World War One had been taking place. But before that, you know, there was extreme poverty. The Bolshevik Revolution happened, especially in Russia. There was a lot of poverty, but there was also, you know, Russia was late to the industrialization game. So you did have people coming to the big cities. And again, it was just when you have these big cities, lots of people there, lots of poverty, and a lot of people just being taken advantage of. And then, you have the revolution because you see this opulence and wealth everywhere, but you can't participate in it.
And another thing that happened is technology started becoming commonplace in everybody's lives. And these these magic machines that took photographs and video started making us challenging the world on what vision and image was. Mm-hmm. And painters throughout the, you know, most of Western art history have always been expected to be very figurative, very photorealistic. Mm-hmm. And here came the camera, and, you know, people started seeing, I don't know, it sounds blows people's minds, but a blurry photo seems to be something that will blow your mind. And zooming in and seeing that an image is created by pixels, by little dots on a piece of paper, is something that made artists want to analyze it. So if you think of Pablo Picasso's Woman, where he's trying to represent a woman from the front and the side, and he creates this kind of monstrous appearance. Mm-hmm. There was also Cubist, who were analyzing the human body as it moved down a staircase and created that wonderful drawing / painting. And then, you know, Kazimir Malevich, he was really interested in this idea of, he sounds kind of like Spock, alogic, which was more about embracing a wild, decadent, modern, urban sensibility in rejection of the past. Mm-hmm. And so he created these impossible costumes that resemble a lot of what Sasha Velour is doing in her show, that are just like fashion that's meant to sort of like fight against the human body, and with lots of ruffles and boxes and shapes that, you know, where does the arm go in? You know,
why is that shaped like that? Why is that a box? Why is it jiggy? Why is that an accordion?
So in October of 1913, Kazimir Malevich, along with Mikhail Matsuyishin, forgive me for mispronouncing it, and Vladimir Klenikov, I think that's a word, put together this opera called Victory Over the Sun. The sun representing the sun in the sky, but also formalism, Western ideas of logic and tradition. And they're like, this is a fight, you know, the bourgeoisie need to be taken down. And so we're going to take it all the way and tear down the sun. And the crowds went wild and threatened to set the theater on fire, and riots broke out in the street.
Because they were just not used to the visuals, and also because they created a whole new language called Zom for it. So
it was nuts. Chaos. So if you think of like Russian opera, Russian ballet, and you think like the Nutcracker, you know? Mm-hmm. And so imagine that someone who's used to watching the Nutcracker goes to pay to see, you know, the opera, and sees this chaotic. Let me just play a little bit of this music so you guys get a sense of what that sounded like for them.
Я и не застрелился из-за застенчивости, но памятник себе поставил. Тоже не глуп. Мне первому памятник замечательно.
Oh, that's enough. Turn it off. Steven, I want to start a riot.
But it was wild that something like that was coming out, because, you know, when you went to an opera, you expected some classical music, that kind of thing, you know?
I think from what I've read is that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that audiences felt that this was a challenge to their way of life, to their society, to their values. Mm. And this opera was going to undo the world. In many ways, the way that rock and roll was seen when it first started exploding with African-American artists. Mm-hmm. And this was like the Sex Pistols. This is anarchy. This is hardcore rejection of traditional Russian values in this idea of conquering the sun. Mm-hmm. And so,
and 4 years later, they had the revolution.
They had the revolution.
And so it worked.
Well, you know, and so you can argue, did it work or did it not? You know, if you look at Russian politics today, but you know, certainly their treatment of LGBTQ people and their desire to be involved in our politics here, and their embracing of oligarchs and mobsters and wealth inequality. Mm. Nonetheless, you know, there was this beautiful idea of creating these weird costumes that it kind of reminds me of Boo Balm, if you're familiar with that kids TV show, or Barba Papa, or the Teletubbies. These just weird costumes where the costume becomes a character in of itself. Mm-hmm. And so Victory Over the Sun on stage just looked like it looked like machines. It looked like 1950s sci-fi film robots, you know. But if you compare, and I'm posting some images side by side of Sasha Velour's costumes and Kazimir Malevich's costumes, and you can see the relationship, the influence that's happening there. So definitely, if you get a chance before you go see Sasha Velour's Smoke and Mirrors, go check out, go on YouTube and just search Victory Over the Sun. Since then, you know, a lot of theater companies have restaged this for art's sake. Mm-hmm. And people go, wow, what a crazy time that was.
Well, it must have just been, it's one of those things where it just must have been so new, you know? And didn't like this futurism also kind of influence like Bauhaus too, right?
You know, I think of Dadaism, I think of Futurism, I think of Cubism, I think of Pointillism, Expressionism, and Abstract Expressionism to all be kind of the same thing. Like, we wanted to fuck with things. In France, Marcel Duchamp, he was like, you know, dressing up in drag and saying, I am Eros, c'est la vie, which means, you know, that love, that is life.
And what about the Futura? Is that the font?
The Futura font. It comes from the Futurist. It was in Helvetica, and typography was this idea that, like, serifs, like if you think of Times New Roman, the typewriter font,
sure,
the font that most newspapers are printed in, was corrupt because it had flourishes to it, and they wanted a font that was easier to be recreated and more efficient, that used less ink. And so my father came of age typing on an IBM typewriter that typed in Futura. So every time I see something written Futura, I think of my dad.
Aww.
And this very, and his sense of, he was an architect in Puerto Rico. He had a very futurist, very modern, very playful, but also a rejection of Western notions, approach towards his designs, you know. So his father designed things with Corinthian columns and lots of ornamental, and, you know, you think of that Spanish ironwork on balconies. My father's designs was very blockish with concrete holes and big pillars to make you feel small. And society is what matters, not the individual. In some ways, you know, progressives are sort of, and Trump supporters and regressives too, have this kind of feeling right now that we've lost our way as a society, and that our government in a lot of ways is not of our own making and is not in our best interests. I'm hoping that in terms of art's ability to speak to people, that artists like Sasha Velour can inspire people to think about getting engaged in their world and getting politically active. And let's talk about Pete Buttigieg. I think he would be an amazing manager where I work. He would be a great coworker. I love a lot of things Pete Buttigieg says. I don't want him as president only because he's just not progressive enough for me.
No.
I think he would be a great president compared to Trump, but you know, I think Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders would be a much better president than Pete Buttigieg. And to see CNN or a lot of the, you know, what's considered a more progressive news media celebrating Pete Buttigieg's certain lift, I think it's a little disingenuous. And I think part of it is that they're very
threatened
by the populist push that's coming from the two major candidates, which is Warren and Sanders. I don't really feel like Joe Biden is going to stick it out.
I don't think he's serious. People don't like him.
Yeah.
And I think he's just up there because he's just like, I'm trying to get the old people involved kind of thing or something. But, you know, for me, really, it's Medicare for all. And Pete is like talking about like, oh, long-term goal. And now even Warren is just like long-term goal about like Medicare for all. Whereas Bernie Sanders is like, we're getting Medicare for all. And that he's like, people aren't saying how you're going to pay for it. Well, how do you pay for any fucking thing? You know?
With cash.
With cash money, which we have a lot. And these billionaires and their offshore accounts.
Not paying their taxes.
Not paying their taxes and whatnot. We can pay for it. It's like every other industrialized country has it. You know what I mean? Yes, there are some problems with it, but you know what? We can work through it. And it's one of those things. It's like, it's the quality of life. Do you know how many friends I've had? How many artists that we've known here in Chicago who have died because they don't have the proper medical care because they can't afford it? And imagine a world where those people still existed and the art that they could make, that we weren't scared all the time, that we weren't anxious all the time.
Victoria Lamar would still be alive today if we had universal health care. Mm. And think about, you know, I mean, people love Cooking with Drag Queens, people, but don't realize that that came from our friendship and our collaborations with Victoria Lamar. And, you know, her, our forced feminization video that we did with her has 500,000 views to this day. It's almost as popular as some of our top watched Cooking with Drag Queens videos. It's that, and that has no Rue Girls in it.
Not a one.
That is just you, me, and Victoria, and
some
our wits.
Keywords.
Force for sure. Feminization. Try it out, girl.
I want to do a shout out to Cindy Wolf, who is an Ohio student. And she was in the production of Carrie the Musical, and she was driving home, and she was all bloody from the final scene, and she hit a deer, and she called emergency services, and she was just like, just so you know, I'm dressed like Carrie, and I have fake blood on me. But then the emergency services go, are you okay? She's like, trust me, it's just a costume. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? She's like, you need to calm down now.
Oh, that's so interesting. So her face was all slathered in blood. That must be happen a lot during Halloween.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure lots of people that just like have some kind of crazy costume on and then they get taken to the hospital. Like, oh, there you go. Or how about like there's been like dead bodies out people's outside of people's homes. And they're just like, it's just a crazy Halloween decoration.
Halloween is a holiday where all the slobs in your neighborhood's homes look normal. And all those cowwebs are suddenly decorations.
There was a woman, her name is Ball Gig, and she went to Camera Obscura and the World of Illusions in Edinburgh, Scotland, and they had one of those heat sensor cameras. And so have you ever been to one of those things?
Oh my God.
It's kind of like embarrassing because then you can see like how hot your crotch is.
And there's a lot of heat there.
There's a lot of heat in that.
I went to the Museum of Science and Industry with my sisters and we're all like giggling in front of it. And my older sister's pussy was on fire. I mean, it was white hot.
It was
like
smoke.
Everything else was like, you know, shades of green to yellow, red, blue, you know. And then there was like, and I was like, what the hell is in your pants? I don't know. It wasn't her cell phone.
And so anyway, she looked and she got a picture taken and whatever. And she came home and she's looking at it and she's just like, what are these hot spots on my breasts? You know, and so the thermal imaging is just like showed some hot spots. And so she went and she had like a mammogram and they looked at her stuff and they were just like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, you have those are lumps. And let's take a look. And it was early detection for breast cancer. Now, scientists out there are saying like this is not a medical procedure kind of thing. But I have heard alternative people saying that heat sensors do work. So I don't know. Do your own investigation. But, you know, you check for lumps, men, women, everybody, just check all around.
Touch yourself.
Touch yourself.
Touch yourself all over. Mm-hmm. Touch this skin, honey. You can't handle this skin, honey. You know, it's like, God, you know, so many people that I know of have detected cancer because they were just looking at their bodies, touching at them. You know, that's how we found that I had that cancer on my shoulder was just like, there was photos of me in drag in November at the Austin International Drag Festival. And then in January, I was had this giant cigar burn. And in my mind, I was like, well, somebody must have burnt me with a cigarette at that festival. You know, I had a couple of drinks when I was in drag one night and I was like, maybe we just had too much fun and somebody, you know, cigarette actually hit me or something. But I don't remember it. So I was like, I was, you know, really, really worried about it.
I think we told this story on the podcast, or your mother actually told it, right?
Yeah.
And she was just like, because she had breast cancer too. I'm like, well, how did you discover it? She's like, well, I was masturbating, I was fondling my breasts, and we just started laughing. And she's just like, oh, well, I'm glad that you think me masturbating so funny. I'm like, well, yeah. No, very few people want to talk to their mom about masturbating.
Well, I think that's, you know, how awesome my mom is. Yes, and yes. I think Sasha Velour and had amazing parents. I'm lucky to have that as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, blessed are people who have really sex positive, mm-hmm. gender positive mm-hmm. parents mm-hmm. who give their kids a lot of space to explore who they are. Mm.
And I want to do a shout out to Idris Lockett, who won Halloween for dressing up 4-year-old the boy, who dressed up as Mayor Lori Lightfoot for Halloween. Mm. He got to meet the mayor. They had pizza together, and it was wonderful.
Sweet.
I know. Isn't that sweet?
He really looked like Lori Lightfoot.
Oh my God, totally.
And then now I'm like, Lori Lightfoot looks like a 10-year-old boy dressed in a drag as Lori Lightfoot. It's kind of like the Prince and the Pauper. Lori doesn't feel like showing up for work. She just gets
Send
this kid.
Idris.
You are all teachers get everything they want.
Aww.
And everyone's, yay! The public schools are saved. I don't know why Lori Lightfoot was like so pain in the ass with the Chicago Teachers Union. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Playing
it's finally
ball.
Got resolved.
Finally resolved, you know.
Ugh.
Hey, listen, it could have gone on.
They could have just gone from day one, be like, this is the solution. Done.
This is what you need.
Why does this stuff happen?
Because we have to pay for all these police lawsuits.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like trigger. It's, you know, it's our police state is just, we don't have mm-hmm. proper vetting and, mm-hmm. and ways to fight racism. And when you don't, that's the thing. It's like injustice is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying for that.
Yeah.
When there's racism in your society, it's coming out of your pocket. So
for sure.
Fight racism.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. All new Cooking with Drag Queens is up.
Muffy Fish Basket, Chicken Kiev.
Not the drag queen, the
Not
dish.
Not the drag queen, the Kiev.
And we're making s'mores, cocktails. Oh. All those recipes are on our Patreon. Patreon.com/feastofun. And check that out, honey.
And tomorrow you're talking to Louisiana Purchase.
Yes.
From Dragula. People describe her as the heart of the season, and I think in many ways she certainly was.
She's been really amazing person that we've gotten to know from the Austin drag scene. And she was very apprehensive about being on RuPaul's Dracula race. And I was just like, girl, you got to do it. You know, mm-hmm. this is going to open up so many doors for you. And it has. And I'm so mm-hmm. happy that, that Louisiana Purchases and Sasha Velour are, just these celebrated artists out there and getting to see the world mm-hmm. and their world is getting to see them. And it's really
more
great.
More drag, more art.
Yes.
More
when,
drag,
when
more
you
art.
Have a broken heart, you make art.
Aww.
That's what Carrie Fisher said.
That's true. She did say that.
And that's what you and I need to do. When somebody does not love you or rejects you or harms you in that way, make some art.
Okay.
We're going to leave you here with an amazing grassroots artist, La Tigre Decepticon.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's dedicated to you, Shady Apes. Thanks for listening.
Bye bye.
Every day.